SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi, the Pittsburgh Pirates, the Hustlers, the people of Boston, and everybody else in between. We're into level two. Ian Cameron will join us a little bit later on. Lakers are up 60-50 right now. 13.5-point favorites. No Ja Morant. T-Wolves getting all they can handle. The Blazers have been a scrappy home dog this year. They're getting 5.5 right now in-game in a tie game, 46-46 with the T-Wolves late in the first half. And the Kings are up 61-56. On the Phoenix Suns. Paul, you're a big NBA guy. I know you're waiting to get going here. I know you're waiting to get going here in the season to start betting, but have you started to jump in yet?
No, because there's too much action with football, and I try not to. I don't want to lose my focus. There's plenty of games, plenty of money to be made, and I think sometimes that's a mistake that handicappers or bettors make, is that they spread themselves out. And I've been doing great in football. My record on Vegas Insider is 32-16 against the spread. My yearly record against the spread is 69-45. I'm number one and number one. And my NFL record is 38-28. So I just prefer to stay in that sport, and then I'll eventually transition, as I always do, to the NBA when I have the time allotment. You know, time management is everything. So that's where I'm at right now.
All right. So you like the over in the Bills and the Chiefs game. Total's 46 right now. Paul got a nicer number earlier in the week at 45. Bills are currently laying two. Speaking of the number two, what's that noise? Whatever that is, can we stop it? All right.
That's me. Sorry, I'm typing loud. Sorry, again. It's me.
Can we work on... can we kill Cam's mic or something? Like, do something like it's got to stop, or stop typing. So, Paul, what do you think of speaking of two, the Denver Broncos are 2-point favorites in this football game. And even though they blew the lead last week, again, they choked against the Kansas City Chiefs, they're still in the playoffs right now. They're actually hanging on to the last playoff spot. So, to me, this Sunday is kind of massive. You got the Bengals and the Chargers, which is a must-win game for the Bengals to get back in this. And if you're Denver, you can start to distance yourself. Like, this is a big-time swing. Like, if Denver wins and Cincinnati loses, Denver suddenly, like, potentially really could make the playoffs for real. Do you buy in that the Denver Broncos bounce back after losing that heartbreaker to Kansas City?
I do. And they're a much better team than Atlanta. Atlanta is... a fugazi. They scored 17 points against a team that had lost, seven games in a row, that had given up 23 points consecutively for those seven games. And look, the Saints, their secondary's depleted. They traded Lattimore. Kamara was running through them. You have an offensive line in the Saints. They've used 10 different combinations this year. And Carr went off and put up big numbers. No receivers. They signed Scantling. He went off for over 100 yards. And I don't think Atlanta's a good football team. They don't get to the passer. Carr was clean for the first time this year, was not sacked. And they just give up too much on the ground. So you look at Denver. They played a great half of football against Baltimore. Fell apart in the second half. Played Kansas City to a virtual standstill. Could have won the game with that field goal. Unfortunately, it was blocked, and they didn't get it. So I just think Denver bounces back. They're home. This is a game they should definitely win against a team that is highly overrated in the Atlanta Falcons.
Now, the rest of your picks I see here are college plays. Anything else in the National Football League you want to talk about before we move on to the college side of things? And I got to ask you about tomorrow night's game, if you have any thoughts on the Commanders and the Eagles tomorrow.
Well, you know, I'm actually focusing in on who I'm going to take for Survivor. And I do like the Cleveland Browns. And I may have to...
Wow.
Really put myself out there. Yeah, I do like the Browns to beat the Saints.
I love it. It feels like one of those reverse, it's like a reverse psychology game, isn't it? Like, it's almost, it feels to me like the game, remember when Jameis Winston started and they won? Mm-hmm. And then the next week, they lost. They played poorly. They lost. They got their ass handed to them. And then sort of similar situation, you got the Saints last week. They win the football game. Doesn't mean that they're suddenly good again. It means that they won the football game last week against the flaky Falcon team. So you're buying into the reverse theory here. And you got Jameis Winston going back to New Orleans here.
Revenge.
Yeah, but certainly Cleveland has a much better defense. There is no question. And I think they could put the clamps on Carr. And unlike Atlanta, that couldn't get to him, Cleveland will get to Carr and force him into mistakes. And I don't care that Cleveland's on the road. They're a fairly rested team, and I think they should have success running the football, throwing the football, and this is a game they should win. So, you know, I'm sitting here mulling over. I got two survivors left in circa $14.2 million or $6 million at stake out of 107. And I got to decide.
That's good.
Do I use the Miami Dolphins?
Oh,
I have two. Okay, so the Miami Dolphins are going to clearly be in play. And I heard Brady say that he did not like the Dolphins. This is a game they should certainly not lose. I mean, they win the game Monday night. They've got a relatively soft schedule coming up.
The Patriots next week, Paul, right? So exactly. They win this. They get the Patriots next week. Suddenly they're back in the playoff mix.
Yeah, and that throws a wrench into Survivor because, of course, you would want to reserve them for next week against the Patriots. But then who do you use for this week? So I think that Miami wins the game. Brady may be right. Maybe the spread at 8 is a little bit lofty. But there are some other games I'm looking at off the top of my head. I actually can't pull them out. But I do have some college plays. College has been great. College has been absolutely phenomenal. I had Rice last week at the good number of 10. And I like some games on the board. I think Kansas this week will be
against BYU. Huh?
Yeah,
so
well,
you've got four.
Kansas
it's three
team.
Right now. You've got four, so you got a nice number. BYU's coming off the emotional Holy War comeback win. One for the ages, actually. Like, it really was one of those. I can't believe they came back and won games, and they did. But, I mean, I get the feeling that BYU, I mean, they're grown men, so they're not the typical college kids. They've done a good job of moving on after these miracle wins this year, but you think they're ripe for an upset against Kansas, huh?
You know what? What I like about Kansas, and I think it'll be a higher scoring game, because Kansas has not stopped a lot of teams. I mean, they've given up a lot of yardage through the air. But I was really impressed with what they did against Iowa State last week. They fall behind 7-0, and if you were watching the game and you had Kansas, you're saying to yourself, oh, God, I'm on the wrong side. But they came back, stormed back, took a commanding lead, gave up some ground late, and closed out with a 45-36 win. But this is a team that lost a pair of games by 3, a pair of games by 4, and then against Kansas State, easily could have won the game, and they lose that one by 2. So maybe the brakes are going to go their way now. And if you remember BYU against Kansas State early in the year, they were very fortunate to come away with a 38-9 win. They were outplayed, but miraculously, turnovers and the like, they end up with a win.
I've never heard someone say a fortunate 38-9 win.
Look at the numbers.
They won by 29
points. Look at the numbers.
Yeah.
Look at the numbers. Look at the numbers. Look at the numbers.
Right, we'll wrap up with Paul on the other side, and then we'll bring the panel in. We'll talk about Washington State, New Mexico, Arkansas State, Georgia State.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We were talking with Rick Saratella that talks about the NFL draft and the odds on a weekly basis year-round. But I we're probably the only show talking about Washington State and New Mexico. Right now. So before we bring Babano in, Paul's got two more college games that we want to hit here. Washington State, I'll tell you what, the Cougs are having a nice year. this year. Like, all the adversity, they got left behind. They didn't have a conference and all that. And they've only lost one football game, right? They're knocking on the door. And you know, it's too bad that they lost, because they really would be potentially that playoff team to get in. But they're knocking on the door here still. And they've only lost one game. Their offense is pretty prolific. I bet the over, Paul, last week on Saturday night. I got the game. It's on the KTLA CW network, the Pac-2 football with Washington State and Oregon State. So I watch all these games on Saturday nights in the late night hours, and I bet on them. And I bet on I bet the over the game, and you saw even Utah State move the ball on them, bro. And we know the Lobos offense is pretty good, so you're going with the over here, over 72 points. And one last thing I'll throw in. Washington State needs style points, too. Like, even their home announcers, everyone, like, they know. Like, they're ranked 17th or 18th, whatever it is, and what's the updated number with them. But, like, they were talking about it. They said, you know, this isn't right, you know, or it's not cool to say this, but it's just reality that Washington State kind of need to beat up Utah State here. Like, if they want to... they want to be in a mix for a bigger bowl and all this. Like, they always got to do a little bit more. So they don't let up, Paul. I just want to throw that in there. Like, even if they're up big in a football game, Washington State will still try to score late.
You know, I had that game last week, and I somehow got 21.5 live, and I went over, I think, 70 or something. And I got up in the morning, checked my account, and I'm like, how did this happen? And somehow,
because Utah State scored with like 10 seconds left. We got to thank God they didn't quit those kids.
Like, yeah, I saw it. You know, so it turned from a double.
That's how it got there. Trust me, I was sweating it out. It was like 2 in the morning, West Coast time. I felt like, I was like, it's all dark. I'm sitting here. I'm like, I can't believe I got like $900 riding on this drive of Utah State that they need to score. And they did. Like, they went down the field and they did.
Yeah, they can score.
I have a new system. I don't sweat games anymore. I was sweating out the Vikings in Survivor, and I walked out of the house 5 minutes ago. I says, I'm not watching this. I'm not watching any more of Sam Darnold trying to win a football game.
Picks.
And I left. Okay. And I left. And I just come back, check the score, and I say, and I leave the sweating to guys like you. But anyway.
Yeah, no, I try not to sweat, but I will turn the channel. But when there's an isolated game, last game of the night, it was one of those, like, you know, I it was such a roller coaster day. I needed to end with the win. All right, so we'll wrap it up with Arkansas State and Georgia State. You're looking at the over 58.5 here.
Well, I was going to say, New Mexico has only played 2 low-scoring games the whole year. 17-6 against Colorado State, I believe, and then last week, 24-16 against San Diego State. But those were the outliers. They play very high-scoring games, and I had them against Utah State. I gave it out on the show over 78. They got into the 90s, which I said they would, and they did. So this is another game that could get into the 90s. As far as Arkansas State, that's another team that has no defense. Georgia State has played every game and given up the opponent 30-plus points except for Chattanooga. So if that holds the form and Arkansas State goes over 30, they have a decent quarterback in Rainer, and Arkansas State does what they've been doing all year, and that is having their secondary gashed, this is a game that should go over the 58.5. I did not get the best number. Circa opened this up at 55.5, and within an hour, by the time I got it here and was able to play it here, it was 58.5, 59. I make fair value on this at about 60, 61. This should go over the total.
Paul Bovey kicking it with us. All right, Paul, congratulations on the run. The Circus Survivor run, and you got two shots at this. So you're looking pretty good. You're standing good, but still a lot of football left. But it's amazing, man, how what a volatile year. Yeah, a lot of football left to get to the finish line, but good luck going into the weekend.
Okay, thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
There's Paul Bovey with us. Great stuff with Paul Bovey, as always. Thanks to Paul for sharing his picks with us. We go from Paul Bovey to Ian Cameron, a.k.a. Babano. What's going on, Babano? How you doing tonight?
Yeah, good to be with you guys. It's a great weekend, Grey Cup. It's probably the best slate of NFL football we've seen all weekend, all year. So it's a great weekend coming up.
Yeah, it's a lighter call. It's Saturday, right? Mm-hmm. There's a million games, but there, you don't have the. There's only a few. You got Georgia, Tennessee. There's not that many like marquee matchups in college football this week. But the NFL, you like Babano, so you got the Bills and the Chiefs, the Steelers and the Ravens, the Commanders and Eagles. This week, some big-time games. And, of course, we got the Grey Cup in Vancouver. Let's start off there, actually, because there's been some movement in this line today. Quite a bit of it, actually. So we talked about it settled in at 10.5 throughout the week. And today, suddenly, it went all the way down to 9. The total didn't move all week. It was 49.5. And the total started to move today. And the updated number right now, it's settled in at Winnipeg -9, over under 51. Now, this book doesn't pay me to say this, but I did play their odds boost. And earlier in the week, Bet365 had the total up, 49.5, and it was plus 100 instead of minus 110. So I figured, I like the over in this game, so I might as well take it. But they took it off the board now because you're getting plus 100 on a 49.5. Now they maxed you out at they maxed me out at $220 on the bet, but I'm glad I got it in at 49.5 because I still like the over 51. I wanted to take the Argos plus the 10.5, but I didn't think it would go back down to 9. What do you think of the line movement, Babano, here? It's been pretty volatile today.
Yeah, I got to believe that's someone with big money or a group moving that. I mean, why would the CFL Grey Cup move that much so quickly? You know, obviously a big handle did that.
Yeah, it was my $500 teaser moved it.
Exactly. Morenci's moving CFL. Lines in the CFL.
I was the big group. $500 teaser.
I will say that, though, $220 for a bonus is good. Sometimes they cut you at $100.
Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. Let's do this thing. So we're talking about the Grey Cup and the line movement down to 9 right now. Listen, it opened at 8. The bettors bettered up to 10.5. It sat at 10.5 all week. And then, boom, today the total got moved from 49.5 to 51. And the point spread got bet down to 9. I think the total is going to keep on getting bet up, actually. I'd be surprised if it wasn't like 52 or something, 51.5, 52. By kickoff. Once the public starts to jump in on the game over the weekend, they're going to be betting on the over, I believe. Babano, there was an advanced number for the Grey Cup at FanDuel before the semifinal games. So before Chad Kelly's injury, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers were 3.5-point favorites against the Argos. So now we're getting 9 with Nick Arbuckle. I think it's too much of an overreaction of the point spread, but Winnipeg have played great football. They've got a chip on their shoulder. Their offense has been much better over the last like 8 weeks. Their offense has come alive. Zach Caleros didn't look good earlier in the year. He does now. Lawler has come alive. Kenny Lawler. So what are your thoughts on the Grey Cup?
And it's a Winnipeg team that does not want to go to the Grey Cup for a third straight year and lose. Because obviously, look, they won the first two, but they've lost the last two. Toronto a couple of years ago when Chad Kelly off the bench replaced McLeod Bethel-Thompson late in that game and they came back and won. And then last year against Montreal in the thriller that I was right there in person for at Tim Hortons Field. It was a great Grey Cup last year with Winnipeg and Montreal, and Fajardo leads the comeback. So if they lose this, yes, it's their fifth Grey Cup. They're suddenly 2-3 in the 5 Grey Cups. They have a losing record during this 5-year run in the Grey Cup game. There's a big difference between 2-3 and losing your last two and 3-2. So this is pretty important to Winnipeg, and I get that sense. And certainly if Nick Arbuckle makes mistakes and throws interceptions, which has been his propensity in the past, they're in some big trouble. I think the key is, look, make this an easy game plan for Arbuckle. Run the football with Carey and Adebooye. Make sure you commit to it. Make sure as well that you throw short to intermediate passes, screen game, and try to coax Arbuckle from not having to win it by himself. You know, the one stat that has been damning for Arbuckle in his career is turnover-worthy plays. He has too many of them. And my biggest concern, you guys, is you've seen a lot of Winnipeg this year. You can't get separation with your receivers against that secondary. They're like gnats on you. Brandon Alexander, Tyrell Ford, Evan Holm, Dietrich Nichols, they are phenomenal in that secondary. It's very difficult to get separation down the field and against them. And if Arbuckle's going to force throws with receivers that are going to have a hard time getting open, that's a recipe for potential disaster. But to your point, Gabe, I think it is an overreaction without Kelly. I get the sense this is a band together and try to win this one without your quarterback. The Argos really come in here, you know, with a game plan and a business-like attitude. And I think they've played Winnipeg tough this year. I know different circumstances, but don't ignore the fact that the two Argo Bomber games were close games. And in fact, Toronto won both of them. Yeah, so I think it's a closer game than people think.
But Gabe brought up a good point. I think the Matt Stafford game applies to this game. Winnipeg is better than Toronto, and they have a lead. And I'm going to tell you, Arbuckle might make mistakes, but he's going to be chucking it all over the lot, Gabe. And I know you're one of those guys that like live betting numbers for Arbuckle, but his passing, it could be too low. Because if Winnipeg gets up there, he's going to have to go to Moxie. He's going to have to take some shots. And that receiver's been awesome for the for Toronto. You know what I'm saying, Gabe? Have you seen this Moxie guy? This guy, he's unreal. Like, he's on fire. And I'm going to tell you, Arbuckle, sure, he'll throw a pick in this. I'll bet that. But he can also hit a long bomb. That's one thing that Nick Arbuckle could do. And let's give him credit. The guy can get laid out, but he comes back for more. He's a tough kid. He'll make some mistakes, but I think his passing yards is too low.
The Argos defense, to me, that's the big key for this team. Their defense isn't very good, right? Let's just call it out for what it is. You could throw the ball on the Toronto Argonauts. So
they give up yards. They're gonna force turnovers. Yeah. They do force turnovers.
You're right. It's they're the bend. That's their bend, but don't break. That's what they want to do. But they still give up a lot of points. Let's be real. Mm-hmm. So we've seen Winnipeg choke, not choke in the past, but play tight in the past in these games, right? It was a close game against Montreal. It was a close game against Toronto. Like you said, Babano, they ended up losing a game late, like in both games, basically on the last play. So they haven't blown teams out. They seem to have a different edge to them this year. But the Argos, and I believe it, like Dinwiddie said today, he said, we like being the underdogs. We relish it. And they know they're underdogs. They know what the point spread is. They also know no one believed in them 2 years ago when they beat the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The Argos wide receivers are really physical, too. So I think that's going to be a fun battle. Big key, too, guys. The Argos special teams is really good.
Oh, great. Like
they create big plays on special teams.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. SiriusXM Channel 159 Sports Grid Radio and Television Network. Seems like a couple of nights a week we're live and the USC Trojan basketball team is playing. And they're big favorites, and it seems like they're always in close games, even though they're big favorites. Once again, here, they're up 29-26. We have a high-scoring game going on in L.A. right now, 29-26. 9 minutes left in the first half, but UT Arlington are still getting 16.5 in this game. I think the point spread is a little bit high. USC are overpriced. San Francisco are drilling Long Beach right now, 54-35. Santa Barbara up 59-53 on Fresno. NBA, 75-68 Kings. They were laying 8.5. They're currently laying 7.5. The T-Wolves, like I said, the Blazers are a scrappy home team. They're getting 6.5, and that's what I'm going to jump in now. Looking for some late-night action here. I'm going to jump in on the Portland Trail Blazers. They're down 3. They're getting 6.5 with 5 minutes left. In the third quarter of play. And the Grizzlies, who I like, but I got scared of, they're up by 5 now. The Lakers blew the lead. The Lakers were up big early, but the Grizzlies have stormed back. 72-68 right now, early in the third quarter of play. In-game total, 244.5. Got a track meet going on there.
Guys, let's remember this and put it on a loop. It's been happening for the last 2 years in the NBA. Star player is out. line goes, take the backups. It's just one of the, and I don't know what's going on with Gabe. You know, in the NBA, like when Morant and all these other guys, we did it last year. We're getting like 13 and a half instead of like seven, and boom, we're winning outright. Like, this has been going on, not for a short period of time. You bet on teams that grind when their star player is out. A lot of the time, the star player takes too many shots or hogs the ball and they become a team. It's one of those things that I really like to do. And I like your Portland pick, by the way.
It doesn't always work. Sometimes it does.
It works a lot.
It works usually in the first game after a big player gets hurt. And then it starts to catch up after. You know what I mean? Like, it'll the first couple of games, maybe you get a little bit of a spark, but it starts to catch up to teams after without the players. The Pelicans are a good example of it. Okay, so back to the Grey Cup, but I did take the Blazers plus 6.5. So, yeah, back to the Grey Cup. The Toronto Argonauts, like I said, they're really good on special teams. So Grant can pop one for touchdowns, big punt returns. They often play with short fields. Their defense is pretty opportunistic at coming up with the turnovers, right? They'll get, like you said, they'll give up a ton of yards and stuff, but they'll hold you to a field goal. We saw that with the Alouettes a lot last week. Or they'll create a turnover in the red zone after. Winnipeg are the better football team, and Winnipeg are on a mission right now. The plays I put in, I already bet the over, and I took a teaser before the point spread went down anymore, but I did take the Argonauts plus 16, and I got over 44. So my best bet in this game, Babano, is the over, personally. And it's up to 51 right now, but there's going to be points. The Argos, and another thing is, too, the Bombers have blown leads in the Grey Cups the last couple of years, right? They've not taken the pedal off the metal, but they haven't scored enough points. I think they'll be ruthless in this game, right? So if you like the Bombers, that's the plus side. Like, they won't let up. They're going to want to, like, put up 38, 40 points if they can and force Arbuckle to, like, beat them and really, really beat them. You know, they don't want to play in a lower scoring game because anything can happen if it's like a 17-14 game or something. But I personally, Babano, think this game is going to be a track meet. Winnipeg probably outscored them. By how much? I'm undecided still, but I do know that this game is going over the number.
Yeah, I'm a little bit less confident on that. And I've been on a lot of Argos overs, but I'm worried if Arbuckle and the offense are going to move it. I do think Winnipeg will score some. You might get defensive scores, though, and that's definitely something that can help you. And you do have good kick returners, especially Toronto with Janarian Grant, that can at least give Arbuckle and the offense a chance to start their possessions on a short field. You know, and that's certainly going to help their cause as
Who's
well.
Winnipeg? So there's Lucky Whitehead, he's their guy?
Yes.
Lucky for Winnipeg. Yeah. Grant is the best. Like, this game, you Babano, you know, we see this guy. Like,
I like Lucky Whitehead, but he's just there not to fumble the ball, which he actually did last week. He's sort of like, all right, let's put Lucky Whitehead back there. And, you know, he's probably not going to return it, but nothing bad will happen. But the special teams and both field goal kickers are really good, too. So it's another reason why the over is going to be a nice play. But, guys, the Toronto Argonauts. Now, listen, it's flip side. Both of you could make the argument. But the Toronto Argonauts have played 20 games now this year. 14 of them have gone over, right? They're 14-6 to the over. And Chad Kelly didn't play for more than half the season. So that's another thing, too, this whole Chad Kelly's not there. Whatever, dude. The guy was back for the last month only. He's good, but
we're indoors. DC Play Stadium, no weather issues.
Yeah, and Kadeem Carey's a good back. And another thing is Dinwiddie's a good play caller, right? So they're gonna have quick hits, screen plays. They'll try to, you know, it is true. Arbuckle, when he starts to throw it down the field, balls start to sail and drift towards the other team sometimes. But I think Dinwiddie knows him pretty well. And for a 60-minute game, can sort of like rein in some of the faulty issues that he has. But look, guys, the Argos, even if you look at the Argos defense, they won last week. They gave up 28 points. They hung 58 on Ottawa. Yeah, they gave up 38 against Ottawa. They played the Edmonton Elks. They gave up 31. They beat Ottawa in the regular season, second to last game. They gave up 31. Played a 14-11 game against Winnipeg. And if you remember that game, Winnipeg didn't care about the game, and it was one of those just weird backup type of games that was 14-11. The week before that, they beat Montreal 37-31, so they gave up 31 points. The week before that, they lost to Hamilton. They gave up 33 points. You notice the theme here, Kim. The Argo defense, bro, has given up 31 or more points, basically, in six of their last seven games. That's why they're 14-6 to the over. They're an over team.
You're damn right they're an over team. And I'll tell you guys another thing. I rarely do this, like almost double digits, 9.5. But there's so many things that I look at Winnipeg. Disappointments in Grey Cups past. Ready for it. Getting better every week. The receivers, Walatarski, Dembski, all these other guys, they don't fumble. Oliveira, like all their guys are very crisp, sound players. Montreal could have put way more points on the board. Cole Speaker's like, I don't know what happened to that guy. He's amazing. He fumbled. Like, Montreal killed themselves with Toronto.
I'll tell you what happened, Cam. That was, they looked like a team that didn't compete. Like they turned the switch off for like the last 6 weeks. And then suddenly they were playing for real again, and suddenly they were dropping the ball, they were jumping offside, they were sloppy, right? You could tell.
Winnipeg's not a sloppy team, though. And those mistakes that Montreal made, Winnipeg won't make. And this line, I got to give the books credit. It's a perfect line to get Argo money. Gabe, you know me. I love dogs. I think Winnipeg wins this game by 13-16 points.
Babana, what's your prediction?
Well, I'll go 27-20 Winnipeg, and it stays under, but barely.
Wow, Babana.
27-20 Winnipeg. Church, so that's a Toronto cover.
Yeah, what's going on? Babana's with the Jonas Brothers here, man. Under on the halftime set. Holy geez.
Well, he just ripped the Argo, so he doesn't have any faith in Arbuckle, but now you're saying it's a seven-point game.
So you're taking Toronto's the Argo. Going to run it a lot, long drives, but it could get crazy. You could get turnovers. You could get short fields, kick return touchdowns. That's going to help your cause if you like the over. I just don't love the over as much as the last two Toronto games.
Gabe, I know you like the teasers and stuff like that. I would say there's a better chance of Winnipeg blowing them out than Toronto. Like, Toronto might cover a huge teaser at 16.5, but now you're getting a teaser with Winnipeg at like 2, 2.5. That's pretty damn good.
That's true. Yeah. I could, you know what, now down to down two, I might just play them -2 to the...
Extra value meals are back. That means 10 tender juicy McNuggets and medium fries and a drink are just $8. Only at McDonald's.
For limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
The over as well to the over 44. I just sort of needed to, you know, because that's a big neighborhood to middle a game. Yep. Between -2 and +16. Right, I'm getting a big territory here, but you guys seem to be forgetting, and I know as someone who's been live to a million Grey Cups, Grey Cup games, for the most part, are always close.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is Sports Rage. I am Renzi. If you look at the Grey Cup and the history of the Grey Cup, and as I stated, it's an underdog game. It's always a close game. And I'm going to go back just 10 years here. So this is to 2014. 2016 final score. 26-20 final score. 39-33. 27-24. 27-16. 33-12. And now the last three Grey Cups, and we should note the Bombers have been in the last four of them, so this is their fifth in a row. Really, if you look back in history, kind of the Ticats are the only ones that have been lit up in recent memory. No, but look, they lost two years ago, they lost by 8. That's not that bad. But look, the last Grey Cup last year, guys, Montreal won 28-24. The year before that, Toronto beat Winnipeg 24-23. The year before that, in Hamilton, Winnipeg beat them 33-25. It was a pretty close game. There was no Grey Cup the year before due to COVID. The one before that in 2019, that was the blowout one, 33-12. Calgary beat Ottawa 27-16 in 2018. But, you know, Toronto-Calgary 27-24, Ottawa-Calgary 39-33, Edmonton-Ottawa 26-20. Calgary-Hamilton 2016, we've had a lot of close games, right? Like in the Grey Cup, like, and especially like the Bombers. All right. So put it this way, guys, the Bombers have been in four straight Grey Cup games, guys, and they won once by more than 8 points, and they lost twice outright. Right. So like, yeah, they want it and all this, so, you know, and I totally agree. The Bombers have a different edge to them. Their legacy kind of is on the line a bit. You know what I mean? There's a big difference between being 2-3 in championship games and 3-2 and getting that third championship. I don't dispute that, but let's not forget the Argonauts have players that care too, right, Babano?
You know what I mean? They do. They do.
Did when he already beat Mike O'Shea. And Ryan did. He's played as a quarterback in the Grey Cup. He's won. I was at that game when he was the quarterback of Winnipeg. Ironically enough, he was the backup and he had to play in the Grey Cup. So he knows all about like the same role that Arbuckle is in, which is an interesting angle here. I'm going to say that Winnipeg, I'll give a final score later on Friday, but I'll say that I think Winnipeg will win the game, but I think it's going to be like one of these sort of classic type of like, oh my God, I can't believe what just happened in the last 3 minute type of games. I think they're going to give Winnipeg all that they can handle. I'm going to say the final score 31-29 or something, 31-28, like in that range. I think they get into the 50s, Cam, high 50s.
Better be 38, Morency, for that teaser, because it's going to be at 2.5. I just want to say one thing about Winnipeg.
I'd rather the 16 on the teaser. I'm on team 16, not team minus 2.
I would do both. But anyway, here's the deal. Winnipeg, in those years, and you guys, we know the CFL, they were the team coming out of the gate, blowing out everybody. It's a totally different narrative this year. They were horrible at the start of the year, and they built it and built it and built it and built it. Like, you saw what they did. Saskatchewan, that's the thing about Winnipeg now. They look like a different team. Before, they didn't have that edge because they were so good in the regular season. Now they actually had to build towards something, and I think that's very, very valuable. I'm not going to say they're going to win by 10 or more points, but I think they're a better team than Toronto. I think they'll make less mistakes than Toronto. I think they win, as I told you, 13-16, Renzi. I think that teaser will cover, but I'm on the Bombers. I'm living in Toronto, but I just think Toronto is, they'll battle, but Winnipeg's just a better team. That's my opinion.
Now you have Argo fans coming at you online. You suck.
You don't even support the Argos.
On top of it, he doesn't even cheer for the hometown Bargos.
I don't care. I cheer for, in my CFL, I'm like those guys who wear different jerseys to different stadiums. Show me the damn money. Actually, you know what? Babano, your Ticat fans were nice to me. I actually enjoyed them.
Well, Babano hates the Argos. He doesn't want the Argos to win. You don't want to watch the Argos win the Grey Cup.
He thinks they're going to win by 7, though, so his teaser to the under is what seems to be, and other things, is where hairdo's doing. But by the way, Babano, I want me and Gabe talked about it. You got to bring back your referee hair. This hair's too good. Like, bring back the slick, the bookie look, where you meet the guy in the rink at the envelope.
If it gets long again, we'll make it. We'll call it a comeback.
You better bring it back. Bring it back. Just saying.
So Zach Caleros is 260, the props up, 260.5 passing yards for Zach Caleros. Nick Arbuckle over under 254.5 passing yards. Dembski is 53.5 yards. Kenny Lawler, 76.5 yards. Ontario Wilson is 53.5 yards. Devarius Daniels, 54.5. DeMonte Coxey is 48.5. Mekhi Polk is 73.5. I'm going to have to look back. I'm going to dig in and look at Arbuckle's games and see who he's had a connection with more than others. But obviously a big key to the game for both teams, players to the game. And I don't have a problem with betting both the over of both these guys. Brady Oliveira over 69.5 rush yards and Kadeem Carey over 69.5 rush yards. They're both going to get the ball a lot.
Great call, Gabe. And we remember our old friend Kramer, who did the CFL stuff. We talked about it today, and I was doing a show where he gave out some props and things like that. And I will say that is one of his favorite with the Winnipeg running back. He thinks Carey will do his thing. Interesting pick he had, though. Daniels receiver for Toronto under, because other guys have stepped up. As we talked about, Moxie's been an absolute beast for the Argos recently. They're going to him a lot.
I got, like I said, I'm going to look up and look at Arbuckle starts and see who he's had the connection with. Look, he's the backup, so he'll have a connection with one of the lower tier guys, right? You know, that don't get the ball as much. Yet, you know, the props are kind of limited for this. They don't have the touchdown numbers up yet. That'll be up, and we'll definitely hit the touchdown props. I'll be at the game. I'll post some videos from the game. I got to figure out,
too. Are you going to wear your PC Lions gear? Because that's what you do at the Great Cub. It's cool.
No, I was thinking about that. I'm going to have money on the Raptors. What am I going to do? Like, wear a Leaf jersey?
No, don't wear a Leaf jersey. But you represent the Lions. They're not playing. That's the CFL way. Ray Hamilton.
Well, they did last year.
You'll be wearing a Tigers jersey in your DC. Yeah, I know you're wearing. You got to do it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Cam Stewart says, I got to wear the BC Lion gear.
Yeah.
At the Grey Cup. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to rep your team. At the Grey Cup, no matter what. But you know what? I'm not in the mood, like, to be waiting in line for a drink. I don't want to, like, hear, like, any chirping from Bomber fans.
Yeah,
it's good just, call. It's going to upset me. Yeah, good. Where Lions aren't playing. Uh-huh. It's in the Lions building, too, Cam. You know what I mean? It's just sort of like, you know, it's rubbing me the wrong way in a lot of ways.
you're right, dude.
I liked the Argos, though. You know what I mean? I do. When I lived in Toronto, I was a big supporter of the Argos. I went to a lot of their games. I lived in Liberty Village right near their stadium. So I went to, like, I went a lot. Like, I used to go to alone a lot on Saturday afternoons.
Beautiful, beautiful stadium. It's gorgeous when it's a nice day out there. Gabe, I remember this. Devon Claybrook's former BC Lions coach knows Darsh. So I lost some weight and his stuff kind of fits me now, right? So I go to do this thing and it was all Bombers fans. And, like, these guys like me and they're like, BC, I hate that. I'm like, holy geez, it's just the BC Lions. Like, I thought you guys hated Saskatchewan more. Like, the CFL is a weird.
BC and Saskatchewan, BC and Winnipeg is a rivalry. It's like BC and Saskatchewan too. But yeah, it's real. We'll see. For me though, it's just all right. You know, I'm gonna go big since I'm going to the game. I'll make it a memory and try to cash in large on it. I'm going to tap myself out, though. I was thinking, because I already have, like, I'm already up to 720. So we put 720 on the game so far. I'm going to budget myself, Cam, at 2,500. That's the
I'm
cap.
I'm going to say this.
2,500 on the Grey Cup. I paid 200 for the ticket. So this isn't like the Dodgers where I spent 1,300 ticket. Where I was like, well, I got to bet 2,000 on a game because I bet 1,300 ticket. I only paid 200 for the ticket. So I'm like, you know what? Yes. I'll bet like two dimes, 2,500 on a game. And if I win, it'll be a good time leaving the stadium after.
Our boy Jazz out there
doesn't believe I'm going to do it. He thinks I'm going to be too lit up. I said, you know what? Maybe after the BC, after the game at BC plays the Grey Cup, the Canucks are playing the Sharks on Sunday night at 7 o'clock local time. Wow. The stadiums are right beside each other, so I could just leave the Grey Cup and go to the hockey game after if I wanted to. After, but
I will make a public service announcement.
Jazz, pay for my ticket.
Bet
him.
I like your style now. Bet people, pay for myself. I will say this. Remember before you had this streak where it's like, oh, I go to the game. Think about this, man. You were at the game where Freddie Freeman hit a grand slam home run to win the Dodgers, the over, everything on one swing of the bat. These games recently, you've been doing.
Yeah, then I was
like,
at the Bills
winning.
48 hours later, and the Bills won easily.
Oh, they murdered my Seahawks. We looked like a wounded bad bird. The Bills just ran all over the Seahawks like a bunch of losers. I'm going to tell you, you've been winning recently, so you know what? You better tell these guys, like, I'm ready to bet. And, you'll get another.
And I'm betting on the over. That's the thing. I'm going to the game, and I'm just going to be standing there drinking, cheering for both teams to score. I don't care how. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to be cheering every time. Pick six, yay, for one team. Punt return for the other team. Yeah, let's go.
Yay. Babano, I mean? I'm surprised, Babano. You're an over guy. I know who you are. I am really shocked that you're taking the under. Why?
I'm not betting the under. I said I'm leaning. I'd never bet the under. But I would
just said 27-20.
27-20 is the under. Is not? Is
I do. I'm worried about Arbuckle moving the ball up and down, and they're going to run the ball, I think, a lot. Time off the clock. I'm a little concerned about this. Look,
Arbuckle
Jack
number
Kelly
one will be
game,
fine.
I am on the over for sure.
Arbuckle will be fine. And number two,
Arbuckle so hard, Gabe. You're like, this guy throws so many picks. It's like he's ridiculous.
Yeah, but the thing is, I sort of look at it, it's like Daniel Jones before. Daniel Jones, you said the Giants were a good over because they'll either score or he'll turn it over and put the other team in good field position. So that's the way that's I look true. At this with Arbuckle. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a pick six.
Pass the over, there is no doubt. And you don't need a plethora
and also,
of offense. You can get turnovers and kick returns, which are capable. Both guys are. Grant
the Argos,
and,
they're not going to quit if they're down either. It's a championship game, right? So it's always going to be, you know, I mean, they're going to push. The total's going to go up, too. I'm telling you, it's 51. It won't go back down. All right, but Ben, what's your pick for tomorrow night? The Bengals and the Commanders. Bengals and Chargers Sunday night. The Commanders and Eagles tomorrow.
Look, I know there's some injuries. Philly looks like they're going to be really healthy. Washington, you know, their schedule's gotten tougher. They couldn't beat Pittsburgh, but I'm taking the +3.5 here with Washington. They've given Philly some trouble over the years, and this is the best Washington team yet.
What's your pick, Cam?
I want to take Washington, but the gazoo on my shoulder says Philly's going to win this game by 4.
I'm leading with the Eagles as well. I think the game goes over the number. Other than that, you're on your own. We'll be on live for the game. Later.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.